Welcome to Future of Work, a series exploring the revolutionary trends, technologies, and mindsets that are shaping the way we approach the workplace. On today's episode, we have the pleasure of hearing from Tanner May. Tanner is a manager of customer success at NERSA, a powerful software that is reimagining the healthcare staffing industry by connecting clinicians and facilities directly to improve patient care. He believes that cultivating great relationships is critical, and that creating raving fans out of customers, employees, and partners is the only way to do business. Over the past couple of years, Tanner has had to rethink how to connect with employees and customers, and he brings some powerful insights on how you can be successful in managing your own team.
Tanner, welcome to the show. Super excited to have you here. Excited to pick your brain and share some of your insights with our audience.
Likewise, Reed, appreciate the invitation. Really looking forward to the conversation and diving into the topic.
Awesome. I just really kind of want to get your background and your take on what you've seen to be successful over the past couple of years, because you've obviously been with companies as they have transitioned to going remote from being in the office every single day. And you've seen that in different companies, different organizations and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, what are some insights that you can share with us that have made these big transitions effective, and what have you seen, and maybe what works, what doesn't work and whatnot?
For sure. No, great question. So I, like many of us, have not so fond memories of March 2020, pandemic really hitting, COVID becoming a reality. The company I was with at the time, they had made the decision to go fully remote. They were, I would say, maybe a bit better equipped for that transition, just in the sense that there was already several offices throughout the country. You know, they had a small group in New York, a couple of remote locations in Seattle and San Francisco. So the teams were used to utilizing Zoom, utilizing Slack. Slack was like the backbone of communication. So they were better equipped to kind of make that transition compared to companies who were, you know, hey, everyone's in the same office, or, you know, where you can rely on some more of that face-to-face, person-to-person communication. So I would say that transition went fairly well for them. Where I would say like the big loss was just in the culture, right? You know, we had, you know, friends that we worked with for years and relationships we had built. And I would say that's one thing that I found in the few companies that I've been at since the pandemic really hit, is doing culture remote is very challenging. I haven't found a company that has been able to successfully replicate. You know, I think, you know, we see lots of comments and there's plenty of threads around, you know, people getting tired about, you know, with Zoom virtual happy hours, or, hey, we're going to do like a Zoom trivia night. And I think like the intention there is good, right? You know, we want that person-to-person connection. But I don't know, like that's a challenge, you know, having those same meaningful, impactful relationships, those conversations. That's a tricky one to solve. And I don't know if anyone's cracked the code on that yet.
Yeah, no, it definitely sometimes feels a little forced. You know, it's tough to recreate that organic interaction that, yeah, you know, just was there when everybody was working from one centralized location.
100%.
Obviously, you've been with some great companies, great organizations that have embraced remote work and have tried to adopt that and still maintain a culture, right? I mean, maybe it was inevitable that some things did get lost, because we were still so new into this and still kind of figuring it out. But I'm curious, was there any one thing that did kind of help maintain that culture despite being remote, or was it really just totally different from what it was like before?
Yeah. Great question. So when we went fully remote, again, because the company was already used to, hey, there's a regular cadence of town hall meetings or, quarterly, get togethers. We maintained those cadence, that cadence of communication, just in terms of company's vision, the goals that we're working towards, how each department or sub-organization is working towards you know, their own unique metrics and KPIs, and how that was going to affect the overall bigger picture. I feel like maintaining and keeping that thread of communication, again, that was already done in a more of a virtual environment where you had, you know, people gathering in some of those remote locations, you know, the people from New York and the people from Utah all dialing into the same call. Continuing that definitely helped, especially preserve that sense of normalcy, right? Yeah. And I think a lot of us kind of hate that word, where it's like, what is even normal? Is normal, right? But that definitely helped. We'll just continue that pattern of communication. And I think that openness and transparency have looked like we're all in this together. Everyone's confused. Everyone's up against these same challenges. I think maybe some companies did that better than others, just that openness of communication about, like, look, like, no one has been in this type of situation before. Like, this is our first time for everyone. I think that approach helps unlock a level of, like, human empathy that makes a difference in these type of situations, right?
Absolutely. Almost being vulnerable as an organization, and just recognizing, hey, we don't necessarily know the perfect solution. We're still trying to figure this out as much as you are, and taking more of a collaborative approach. I couldn't agree more. But you know, with that said, as a manager, you obviously work with, you know, a subset of the team, right? And you know, we've seen it. The way that work is handled isn't necessarily always at the organizational level. You know, there are changes we've seen across different departments, different teams, and whatnot. And I'm curious, what have you seen as a manager to be the most successful way of working, specifically within customer success? Is it, do you try to have people in person every single day? Is it more mixed, like the hybrid approach, or is it remote?
Good questions. So I would say that I'm personally a big fan of the hybrid approach. You know, summer of 2020, I made the decision to leave the company that I had been with when COVID hit, and when remote work really became normal for everyone. You know, we all were part of the 14 days, right, to flatten the curve, which turned out to be quite a bit longer. The company that I went to, they were very much focused on, hey, having people in the office. There was, I would say, a larger percentage of more entry-level roles or entry-level employees who maybe didn't have the tenure or experience to be able to successfully work in an at-home environment. That requires a lot of discipline. I think for nurses specifically, you know, we're still such a young company. You know, things are changing and evolving constantly. And we have a team that we're ramping up right now. We've actually doubled the size of our success team just in the past couple of weeks. That ramp up, that training period, well, I think it can be done remotely. Again, I think you miss, you know, a lot of the in-person, the face-to-face communication. Our company's approach is, hey, let's have as many people as possible be in the office. But I think once this team is more mature and in a more ramped up stage, success is a job that can be done from anywhere. Once you have more of that tribal knowledge and you've gone through that ramp up and you know the industry a little better, you know, as a manager, I don't care if you're in the office 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, because that doesn't mean you're adding value, right? And that's what's important to me is, hey, are you moving the needle? Are you taking care of your responsibilities? You know, are you helping your customers? Are you providing them with feedback? Are you hitting those marks, right? That can be done in a variety of different ways. So my vision for our team is that, hey, come into the office a couple days a week, get some of those in-person meetings, those in-person conversations. And then, hey, if you've got a day where you've got, you know, 4 or 5 client calls, it might be better to do those from home, where it's quiet, where you don't have interruptions, where you don't have some of that water cooler talk that can maybe interrupt your workflow.
Yeah.
So I think as employees, we can use that hybrid kind of role really to our advantage to be more effective and to use our time in the most efficient manner possible.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Sounds like almost treat work at the office different than work at home, right? Like go to the office to collaborate, to build relationships, to align with other people on your team, and then use your time at home to really just crank through some of that, those heads down work meetings and whatnot.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like I love the water cooler talk. I love building those relationships. I think that's paramount in, some of the short and long term success and what we all want, you know, out of a career. But there's also times where it's like, hey, selfishly, I got a lot of stuff to get done. I just want to put my headphones on and just crank through a bunch of projects, and I don't want to be disturbed. And thankfully, now that back in, you know, in-person school is back in session, you know, for me, being at home is a better environment for that type of work.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That's at least what works for me. I mean, you know, I understand everyone's different, but that's kind of the approach that I take. Related, but a little bit different. I'm curious, just specifically looking at customer success. You know, obviously there have been changes to the workplace, and that's impacted both companies internally and how they interact with other companies. And I'm curious, have you seen what changes have you seen specifically within customer success, if any, in this more kind of hybrid remote way of working than what existed prior to the pandemic?
Great question. I think a lot of those changes may differ industry to industry. But again, kind of tying back to our earlier conversation about having that human empathy and that vulnerability, I think it's lowered a lot of walls on the client side that were maybe propped up before, where, for example, in healthcare, you know, healthcare is typically a more legacy industry, slower to adopt. There's a lot of compliance and regulatory issues kind of slowing some of that innovation and whatnot down. But typically in healthcare, face-to-face, in-person meetings were always a part of like that, you know, that sales or that success plan of, hey, we either going to want to win this big client or maybe we want to save this client from churning. Okay, we've got to get someone out there and we've got to take them to dinner and do a whole song and dance and present to all the stakeholders and whatnot. I think one of the benefits that the pandemic has kind of unlocked is they're all very open to doing a Zoom meeting, to doing a Zoom call. We can have some of the same impactful discussions and make those decisions. I think the pandemic has kind of forced our hand in that respect. But at least from my perspective, I think some industries have actually benefited from having, hey, like the option for in-person maybe isn't an option anymore, or maybe it doesn't need to be an option. You know, business travel is very expensive, and not to say that I'm against, you know, business travel or, you know, face-to-face interactions. But I think we found we can work so much more efficiently. We can move quicker by doing the Zoom calls, again, with clients, getting people, you know, on the Zoom call together, going over everything we need to go over. I think, again, we still need to crack the code on, hey, how can we build more value in terms of, you know, showing them that we care, showing that we value their relationship. You know, typically, you're taking them out to dinner, or you're doing some of those extra little warm and fuzzies that, you know, make them feel good about doing business with you. I've seen, you know, you can send out swag, or you can send a gift card to a restaurant, or, you know, buy lunch for them and their staff. That stuff's okay. Again, I think that's, you know, one aspect that, you know, we've yet to crack the code on. Hey, how do we get some of those, drive some of those same emotional levers from a more virtual perspective that are just easier to do, you know, in person, face to face. You know, if you're there, you just say, hey, where's your favorite steakhouse? Perfect. Let's go there. Like, you know, we want to treat you, or let's take you to the golf course, or whatever the case may be. I think the new world, you know, kind of how things are operating, just requires a little more intention and creativity in that respect.
Interesting. The new way of working almost highlights people that can kind of use the new norms that have become available to them to connect even further with their customers, where before, you know, maybe they were limited to only having to go there in person to connect with them. Now they can do other things, but it requires, you know, a certain level of intention and knowledge and research just to really make it impactful. That's actually really, it's really cool.
Yeah.
You touched a little bit on onboarding already. And so I kind of want to dive a little bit deeper into that. And so, you know, there's no doubt that making sure employees have the right tools and are well-trained is at the top of managers' minds, especially right now. You know, the great resignation going on, people are switching jobs so quickly. Onboarding is completely different than what it used to be. You know, having these tools and structure in place is critical. I'm curious, for you, have you noticed a difference between training employees remotely versus in person?
Yeah, great question. So I've seen this at NRSA and previous employers as well. We have certain parts of the organization that are all strictly remote roles. Typically, any of our product-facing roles, development, product management, UX, many of those individuals, we find success in finding them internationally and, you know, convincing them to relocate from South America to Salt Lake City, Utah is a more tricky conversation than you expect.
Yeah, but, of course.
You know, we've used that to our advantage to be able to kind of, you know, shop talent globally. You know, we feel like that takes us out of some of the competitive landscape for the Silicon Slopes area, where, you know, there's such a concentration of tech companies. And I don't know if this has happened intentionally or just circumstantially, but typically what we've seen is we will hire one or two individuals from a specific country or a region, and then they tend to make referrals. And we kind of see like micro clusters where, hey, maybe we've got, you know, a handful of developers in this part of Europe and a handful of developers in Brazil. And I think that happens more naturally where, you know, we hire one person, they talk to their friends and family and people in the network, and then we tend to gain referrals. And so typically some of that onboarding, that employee training, you know, is still being done remotely in terms of, you know, company-wide onboarding, you know, our processes and, you know, policies and all that general boilerplate stuff that comes into, hey, you're now at this new company. But in terms of their portion of the organization, we've been able to be, I would say, fortunate where we're still doing a chunk of that remotely. You know, our head of development, they're out of Europe. And so, you know, all of our development talent that's spread out internationally still report to that central hierarchy. But they've got, you know, senior managers or, you know, directors of product, again, kind of in some of those subsets where there are some of those in person and more of those interactions happening at a more local level for those employees. So again, I would say I had never really thought about it this way, but that's almost a hybrid approach, right? In terms of how their employee onboarding experience, again, for us here in Salt Lake City, Utah, we've taken the approach that, hey, for at least that onboarding, that training period, we really like to have people here in the office. You know, of course, we're, you know, supplying, you know, masks or safety measures, sanitization stations where, hey, depending on everyone's individual comfort level, we want people to know that, hey, we're making a conscious effort. But then once you go through that general onboarding and training, especially in our customer-facing roles, you know, many of them do have the option to continue working in the office or work fully remotely from home. Or, again, on more specialized teams like Success, hybrid is really where we're looking to go regardless. And again, that's always kind of worked out on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, so just one last question before I let you go. As we look to the future and the future of work, I think it's safe to say that the pandemic acted as a catalyst in terms of us reevaluating, you know, the way people work in the workplace in general. And I think that we're just at the beginning. I'm curious what your thoughts are in terms of what does the future of work look like in 5-10 years down the road? Does it look like where we're at right now? Do you think we'll continue to evolve? Do you think we'll go backwards to the way it was prior to the pandemic? What's kind of your take on that?
That's a great question. I think I genuinely don't see the workplace as a whole successfully going back to the way things were. I think as employees who went through, you know, we went through that transition, right? You know, many of us were part of layoffs or, you know, saw reduction forces, or we saw that transition to remote work. And, you know, some companies did a great job and they tried to, you know, hold everyone's hand and provide that support. But I think where, you know, everyone's hand was kind of forced, where everyone had that option, that opportunity to be like, man, like, look at how much more efficient I can be if I don't have to commute 2 hours in my day. You know, I can spend a little more time with family. Yeah. I know for myself personally, my honey-do list was never in a better place than when I was working remote, because, you know, I had that time to knock out those projects and stay on top of that stuff. So my hope, and maybe this is blind optimism, but my hope is that we don't go back to the way things were, because I think we've now opened our eyes to the potential of, hey, how can we be more efficient? How can we, again, move faster? You know, one thing we've done with our hiring process, you know, specifically for success at nurses, you know, we've kept the first couple of interviews in our process as Zoom interviews because we can do them so quickly. It's a less of an ask of someone applying, going through our, you know, application pipeline to, hey, let's hop on one Zoom call one day and then maybe another Zoom conversation the next day. And we're not asking them to make that drive into our office every single time. But then, you know, once we're getting to those final conversations, you know, we do invite them into the office because we want to meet them face to face and at least, you know, kind of have some of that personal interaction. There's too much benefit for that for me to wish for us to go back to the way things were, where, hey, we're doing all these meetings and these conversations, and doing work means you have to be in a building with all your coworkers. You know, I think the proof is in the pudding. There's too much efficiency and benefit to work-life balance and really just spending more time doing the things that we love or, you know, the people that we care about. I wouldn't want to go back to it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to commit to being, you know, in a building 40 or 50 hours a week. Like there's too many competitive advantages to give individuals that freedom, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think too many efficiencies to gain for it to make sense for the vast majority of organizations to go backwards. I think we'll actually continue to see evolution and progress as we move forward. Tanner, thank you so much for coming onto our show. Truly was so great to have you.
Yeah.
Really grateful for your insight and your take, and excited to see NERSA continue to have success and to grow. So thank you so much, and looking forward to all the great things coming your way.
Well, the pleasure's been all mine. Thank you again for the invite, and excited for the series to continue to come out and be produced. And yeah, just excited to see what the future of work holds for all of us.
Awesome. Thanks, Tanner.
This series was brought to you by Tactic, the hybrid work solution of the future. Tactic will help your team enjoy all of the benefits of a flexible workplace while taking care of the less enjoyable challenges. Let's make work better together. Get your free trial today at gettactic.com/future.